song. Nice to have you with us. Some of our own people, of course, are here as well, and we welcome you all cordially, and we trust that the Lord will bless us as we consider the great things the Lord hath done. I'd like you to turn tonight to the second epistle of Peter, the second Peter, chapter 2, and I want to read the whole chapter. I could take a little bit out of it, but it doesn't easily break down, so I think we'll just have to read the whole chapter. It's an important one, and you'll find that Peter is speaking especially about false prophets who have come into the midst of the people. The 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, accursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them, but it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And may the Lord help us to understand the deep things of the word of the Lord. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come to thy word tonight and we thank thee, O God, that thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And as we consider thy word today, we pray that thou would give to us a better understanding of this world that we live in. And Father, help us, we pray, to stand up and be counted for the Lord our God. And Father, we ask of thee that thou wouldst remember our land and be pleased to send us a breath of revival in a very difficult and trying time. We ask your Father also for Dr. Paisley. We thank thee for him, and we thank the Lord for the honor that thou hast given to him over this past few days back in Northern Ireland. And we pray now that thou would give to him and those who stand with him wisdom to know how to act and to react in the situation they find themselves in. And Father, we pray that thou would guide them according to thy perfect will, and grant, O God, that thou would bless that land even with a shower of spiritual rain. Be with us now, we pray, and speak by thy power, and give liberty, we ask of thee. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Tonight I want to speak on a rather different sort of subject than normal. I want to speak on the world view of freedom. The word freedom is a noble word, and it is a lofty ideal. And we are very happy to live in what is known as the free world. We should thank the Lord for the position we have, because we do not live in a despotic tyranny where people are the pawns of the powerful, like as in the case of Iraq there in recent times under Saddam Hussein. And so we should thank the Lord for the freedom that we have in this our land. And I think of the bumper sticker, not the bumper sticker, but the license plates of New Hampshire that bear the message where we have yours to discover, they have give me freedom or I die. And so it is a blessing to live in a free country. But there's another side to the cry for freedom that masks a very wicked option. You can take, for example, Israel away back in the book of Judges. We were told there at the very last verse of Judges that there was no king in those days, and the people did according to their own desires. And so that ushered into Israel one of the worst periods of its history, where wave after wave of affliction washed over that favored land, and it came as a direct result of their freedom to sin according to the dictates of their own consciences, if they had any. In succession, Amalek and Ammon and Moab and Midian and Philistia, they came and they enslaved the children of Israel, and God had to raise up the deliverers in those times. And thank God he did, in response to the cries of the people of the Lord. Now we are living in a time very similar to the day of Judges, and we have many people who boast of freedom, when in actual fact they are not free people, they are in bondage. And the reason why I speak to this tonight is because of this chapter that came up in my own private reading this week. And in verse 19, I was greatly blessed as Peter in his day saw clearly the problem that we face in our day. Where in verse 19, while he's speaking here of false prophets, and under that term comes all kinds of people who are trying to influence people in the world, he's speaking with false prophets, and he says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, that is the devil, of the same is he brought into bondage. And so those who are promising liberty and freedom are actually people who themselves are in bondage. So I want to look at this verse here for a short time. And first of all, almost by way of introduction, just to focus on the promise of the worldly freedom that is given today. The word liberty there in this chapter is a word that means a promise of personal liberty. But when you look at the context, you find it's not liberty at all other than a license to go forth and to sin. Now you can think in your own mind of the advertisements we get today for alcoholic beverages. You will see them on the television, you will see them in the newspapers, and sometimes you hear them on the radio. And in those cases, they always present a wonderful, liberated lifestyle. And everything is happy, everything is joyful, and you're not in unless you are enjoying that lifestyle. But the sad thing is that the people who put forward those advertisements in order to make their life's money, they say nothing about broken marriages, broken homes, the children that are grieved. They say nothing about the abuse of fathers and so on who have come under the influence of alcohol. So you will see they will give one side of the story, but they don't give the whole story. And my friend, that is true with this great call in our present generation for freedom. Give me freedom or I die. Now, what is this freedom promised? Well, in the world today, we are told that we need to keep and maintain that great bastion of democracy, freedom of the press. And I believe in the freedom of the press because that was something good whereby despotic governments would be caught on in the wrongdoing and that have to answer to the people. But I discovered today that with the freedom of the press comes a responsibility on their part. And I don't need to belabor the fact tonight that the press can condemn and does condemn that which is right and proper and can very quickly destroy the character and the reputation of a person. Now you think of President Bush. President Bush is not a man without sin. He's not a man who's made every decision right and proper. But he is a man who said that the greatest influence in his life was Jesus Christ. He is a man who's come out and has stood for the proper definition of marriage. He has come out also and is working on the business of undoing the awful murder of abortion. And you read the newspapers and you would think that George Bush was worse than Saddam Hussein and his sons who murdered and killed many, many people. Because, you see, there is this freedom that they talk about, that they say we have, when actual freedom that they're talking about is a freedom to do wrong, a freedom to promote evil, a freedom that so often reviles that which shows some signs, at least, of being good and right and proper. Then again, we have another free bastion that is very important to us, and that is the freedom of speech. And that's important that people are allowed to speak out, because in tyrannies and in despotic countries, you find you cannot speak out, because if you do, you'll be killed or jailed. The freedom of speech is something wonderful. Yet in our country, there is a real attack upon freedom of speech. Oh, they call and they say, give us freedom of speech. But that freedom of speech, my friend, is something that is all right as long as what you say is what they want you to say. We're living in a world now of political correctness, and there are many things you cannot say. You can think them, but if you ever speak them, then you're in a problem. You take, for example, that Alliance Party man who made some derogatory comments about homosexuals and, in fact, was largely reflecting the view of the Scriptures with regard to homosexual practices. What happened to him? What happened to this great freedom of speech that we hear about? Well, Stephen Harper fired him. And did so because he could not afford to bring any difficulty to the union now between the Conservatives and the Alliance Party, because one of the Conservative members is a homosexual. So you do not have freedom of speech today because we're shackled by biblical or by political correctness. And if you were to get up today and publicly expound only what the Bible has to say about homosexual practices, you would be condemned and damned. So they talk a lot about freedom. Then there is, just thinking there about that man who was fired by Harper, Sven Robinson, and you know who he is. He gets up and he talks of this man as if he was the worst bigot this world has ever known, because he dared express a viewpoint. So that's the problem that we have in the world today. Then there is also a freedom of action. They say, give me freedom of action. I want to do what I want to do. I want to be the boss of my life. I want to do what I feel I want to do. Just do it. That's the world's message. And so the country is inundated with smutty and dirty books, and you call upon some degree of decency to cause these things to be kept out of circulation. And you find, oh, you can't do that because they're calling for literary freedom. Must be free in order to put forward their dirty and their smutty books. Then we have in society today filthy movies. And if you call for some semblance of decency and morality, oh, you're written off as a bigot, and we're told that you have to have artistic freedom to present all these things, and the lives of our children are being polluted by these. Then we have also in our society the growth in recent years of immoral talk shows. And they boast of freedom. I want to be free so that I can be as vile as I want to be and be as irreverent as I want to be. One of the CFRB men, who fortunately is now gone, that he boasted about being irreverent in the afternoon on a program that used to be called the Family Station of Toronto. So things are changing, and they have these immoral talk shows. And then we are told we have to have freedom in the world of the television. You can show as much violence as you like. You can get into the computers of the children all these computer games that are focused on killing and murdering people. And then they wonder why a young people would turn around and kill another young person. They wonder why, when the whole time their call for this freedom is leading to the destruction of the youth in our day and in our generation. Little wonder young people in many cases have such a low view of life itself. And then, of course, they're calling for sexual freedom. The sins of adultery, the sins of promiscuity, the sins of homosexuality, they are glorified. And you cannot pick up a newspaper or look at a TV set or listen to the radio. You cannot look at any of these or listen to any of these, but you find these sins are glorified. And the whole time the plan is to gradually desensitize people until they will accept anything at all. Somebody mentioned the moon in the prayer meeting before the service, and was rejoicing in their prayer about how beautiful the moon looks. And so it does. A beautiful orb up there reflecting the light of the sun. But don't forget, there is a dark side to the moon that we cannot see. And in our society, you'll find that they're trying to portray freedom and other things as great, enlightening things. But they never take time to tell people about the dark side. And society today has been slowly destroyed. What's the basic problem? Well, we were speaking, as Larry was reading there in Genesis, it just happened to be chapter 7, dealing with the flood. And the Lord was asked, what is the sign of His coming? He said, the only sign is the sign of Noah. Because in the days of Noah they were doing certain things and continuing until the flood came. And my friend, I believe that we are in the days of Noah, but it's not going to be a judgment of water. It's going to be a judgment of fire, as Peter tells us in the very next chapter of this epistle that we read from tonight. Now, what is the basic problem? Peter saw it. Peter got it right. Because he said, while they, that's the world, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. And so those people today who are boasting to us about their freedom to do all these wicked and immoral things, they do not understand, they do not realize that they themselves are not free, but they are in bondage. They are slaves to the worst kind of slavery, because not freedom they have, it is slavery not to the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we're told that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. But they're slaves to the devil. And if you come and you argue with him, you try and tell them and get some redress for their wrong views and morality, they can't see it. And will not see it. Because they themselves are the servants of corruption. And so if you're ever hoping for something good to come out of Hollywood, or to come out of the publishing houses of this world, or to come out of the computer world and the TV world, you'll wait in vain. Because the people generally who control these, they themselves are the servants of corruption. And they have a depraved mindset. And they work for the most awful, tyrannical master of all. And that is the god of this world, known as the devil and Satan and the great deceiver. Now these people who talk about freedom and offer freedom to our young people, and they come along and they make it appear that unless the young people accept this, that they're never going to be free. These people don't understand that they themselves are not free. They're not free to make righteous choices, because their whole life is tainted by the depravity of human nature, and their whole lives are tainted by sin. They cannot see. They cannot understand. And their worldview is that they are right. And nobody else who disagrees with them could possibly be right. The only problem that argument is that the Christian believer once was in that mindset, was once in that position, and knows what it's like, and now they know what it is to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the person who's still bound and held captive by the devil as a servant, or the word there is for slave, a slave of corruption, they have only seen the one side. And so they cannot possibly be of any benefit to others, because they're leading others down as the blind leader of the blind. You'll find that their attitude towards the Bible believer is somewhat different to the rest of the world. An example on CBC News just a couple of nights ago, when that man who spent 13 years in jail for a murder that they say now he didn't commit. So the question is, did he commit it? Was he guilty or not? We don't know. That'll have to wait the outcome of perhaps another trial. But he was interviewed by a young woman on CBC. I watched that interview, and I listened to the girl, I don't know what her name was, but I listened to her as she interviewed him, and she didn't pose the question, are you guilty or not? And he never volunteered at any time or denied that he committed the murder. All he said was, the truth will eventually come out. I think if I had that chance and I did not do the thing, the first thing I'd say is, I didn't do that. I'm glad to be free because I did not do it. I was incarcerated wrongfully in jail for 13 years. But what struck me was the young interviewer, young woman, and she fawned all over this man. Fawned all over him. And you'd think that he was some great star that had to be spoken to, and that's the way she came. And I thought, take that man out of the chair, bring in a fundamental believer and sit him or her down the chair and ask them a question about abortion, about adultery, about homosexual practices, and what would the reaction of the interviewer be then? And I tell you, it'd be a lot different because we're living in an entirely different world. Because the people, many of them, now there are good people in the press, don't get me wrong, there are good people out in the world there, but by and large, the call for freedom is coming from people who, as Peter says, themselves are the servants of corruption. And so they come to our world, and they promise to us liberty. But that's vain and fallacious, because it comes from people who are slaves to sin and depravity and iniquity. Someone has said, oh liberty, what crimes have been wrought in thy name? And those who are deepest down in sin, they are the ones who make the loudest profession and call to liberty. The Gnostics, the knowing ones, that you'll find in the very next chapter of the Bible in 1 John 1. The Gnostics there, they were the ones who claimed to find the secret of spiritual freedom. What do you find? You find that their call was nothing but a cloak for licentiousness and sin. The antinomian, and you'll find them in our society, lauding antinomianism, which is a rejection of the law of God. The people who do that are themselves the bond servants to corruption. And so the bottom line simply is this, that as Paul says in the book of Romans, the natural man is enmity against God. And that's why in the world today you find all these attacks on righteousness, because an attack upon the holy and righteous God, upon His person, upon His law, and upon His Son. And so society is in a mess today. While they promise liberty, but they themselves have promised it, they are the servants of corruption, because as Peter says, for of whom a man is overcome, that's overcome by the devil, of the same is he brought in bondage. So when you hear these people, realize that they are held captive by the devil as well. This is not a very pleasant message, but it's a true one. But I want to close by reminding you of the only pathway to true freedom. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He gave that very clear in just a few words in John 8 and 32. He says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So these philosophers, and these press people, and these television people, and these movie people, they are not going to liberate you. All they're going to do is to wind tighter around your body and your life and your soul the chains of the wicked one. The only one that can set you free is the truth. Jesus said, "The truth shall set you free." Just go back in your mind to the Garden of Eden. Remember there, God had just made Adam, and shortly thereafter, He made Eve. He told Adam, and the command came to Adam, He told Adam regarding the forbidden fruit, not to eat of that tree, because in the day that he did, he would die. And along came the serpent. And what did the serpent do? He used the same tactic that he's using today. And that is, he came along indirectly. He didn't go to Adam first of all, he went to Eve. And you'll find that today, they don't go directly to those who are in leadership positions in, for example, the church. They go to the young people. They go indirectly. They get to them, just as the lion would go for the weakest young animal in the herd he's trying to get his dinner from. Go for the weakest one. So the devil comes to Eve and he says to her, "You need freedom, Eve. Because God has not given you freedom. You need freedom because He said you can't take of that tree, but you know that if you eat of that tree," and here He's promising liberty, "you will know, you'll have freedom to know the difference between good and evil, and when you come to there, you'll be as gods." So He promises Eve a freedom. And so she went and took her husband, and together they disobeyed the Lord. Totally unnecessary, because Adam and Eve already knew what good was. Because God brought them into a world freshly created, of which He said, "It is good." And all God's dealings with Adam and Eve prior to the fall was good. And so they knew good. The only thing they didn't know was evil. And along comes the devil and he says, "I will give you freedom to become gods." The same as he did with the Lord Jesus Christ in the temptation in Matthew chapter 4. "If thou be God," take freedom. Be free to show that if you jump off the temple, you'll be able to go down and not hurt yourself. The devil's still doing the same thing. But for Adam and Eve, bondage ensued. And not just bondage, but slavery. Because over in Timothy, Paul said, "Of those that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So Jesus said, "The truth shall set you free." And what is the truth? Jesus said, "I am the truth, the way and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so if you want to know real freedom, it's one of those biblical paradoxes. Real freedom is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you find people today, under Peter speaking of those who come in the church there, and he says that they were in among the people of God. And you can see them because you look at their faces. And they don't realize this, but you look in their faces as a believer, and you can see their faces are blank. Because the hymns we sing of the amazing grace of God, and the hymns that we sing of the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ, they actually mean nothing to them because they are held captive by the devil at his will. My friend, are you captive to the devil tonight? Or are you free in the grace of God in the Lord Jesus? You see, the true Christian is free from the shackles of sin. But he does submit to the kindest and the holiest of masters, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the unbeliever is free from the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is in bondage to sin. And while he may boast of liberty as they do, and we're bombarded continually about the boast of the wicked for liberty, while they may boast of liberty, their boasting is vain and empty. Why? Because freedom is useless. Freedom is worthless if it does not include freedom from man's greatest problem, which is the sin of his heart. That Jesus Christ alone is the one who can free from sin. And that's why Paul encouraged the Galatians to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatian Christians started off well, but some of them turned away and got entangled again in the devil's yoke of bondage. Oh, my friend, tonight, realize that true freedom only comes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find that reflected in our closing hymn in a moment or two. If you know the Lord, rejoice in the fact that you can say you're free from the law. Oh, happy condition! Because in Jesus Christ there is remission from sin. We're free. We're free to live for Him. We're free to do that which is right, that the ungodly do not have, because they're held captive by the devil at his will. And if you know not the Lord Jesus tonight, oh my friend, while the world promises freedom, it is bondage that the devil actually brings, as he brought to Adam and Eve and to all the succeeding generations of mankind. Only Jesus Christ can set you free. And the Bible tells us, whom the Son set free is free indeed. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God that brings poor sinners like us out of the depths of our sin and depravity, and brings us out of the devil's snare and liberates us by His mighty power. And we thank Thee, O God, that the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus and in Him makes us free and keeps us free, and will keep us till the river rolls its waters at our feet. Then He'll bear us safely over where the loved ones we shall meet. O God, if there's one here tonight that knows not the Lord, may they close their ear to the cry of the world, and may they come to find freedom in our blessed Lord and Savior. Answer prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as our closing hymn number 528. 528. Thou sweet beloved will of God, my anchor ground, my fortress hill, my spirit silent, fair abode. In Thee I hide me and am still. And then look at the third verse there. O lightest burden, sweetest yoke, it lifts, it bears my happy soul. It giveth wings to this poor heart. My freedom is Thy grand control. We'll stand to sing 528.